dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as, well, an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. In terms of people working on behalf of America in that war, on Capitol Hill, there are few who are the equal of our guest in this first segment. He is Representative Mike Pompeo. He represents truly, with great distinction, the people of the 4th District of Kansas. And he serves on a number of committees that are of great interest to us and that will inform our conversation, notably the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He is a member of the Select Committee on Benghazi and, not least, a member of the powerful Commerce and Energy Committee in the House of Representatives, and always a welcome guest here. Congressman Pompeo, thank you for joining us. Great to have you.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for those kind words.
Well, they're heartfelt and deserved in this case, so thank you for giving me the chance to say them to you. I want to talk a bit about Iran. You were one of those who took to the floor of the House of Representatives last week in strong, and it seemed to me principled as well as correct, opposition to the so-called Corker-Cardin bill on Iran. Talk a little bit about why you opposed it, where you think it leaves us, and what the implications might be.
Well, the Corker-Cardin bill, in my judgment, gives the president a complete blank check for virtually any deal he wants to strike with Iran with respect to nuclear weapons and sanctions relief and missile program development, all the things that I think most Americans understand we need to stop the world's largest state sponsor of terror from engaging in. And today, now, we passed it, the president will sign Corker-Cardin here shortly. 34 Democrats can essentially approve the deal in the Senate. And that was a profound failure on the part of Congress. I'm looking forward now. We've got to find a way to find enough folks who will vote disapproval if the deal ends up looking like everyone anticipates it's going to look between the P5 plus one and Iran. And folks, I opposed it because I thought the House of Representatives at least should have done more to put a greater leash on the negotiations between the Ayatollahs and our country.
Yeah, and I think you pointed out that the so-called deliberative process of the House of Representatives on this legislation was so circumscribed, so truncated, really, as to amount to a rubber stamp even of this bill, let alone the deal that the president is cooking up. Talk about what was going on there.
No hearings, 40 minutes of debate, no amendments able to be offered, came literally within a couple days of us coming back into town to engage. There wasn't enough thought put into what the ramifications were of the House passing a bill that was identical to the one in the Senate. And what that leads to is now we will have a law which will allow members of Congress to vote disapproval. The deal will come back. We'll vote disapproval, and members will go back and tell their constituents, gosh, I voted against it. I voted to disapprove it, knowing full well that they had been part of a process that made that meaningless, made that disapproval vote meaningless. And I didn't want to be part of that. I was hoping to convince our leadership to do better, and we didn't. And now we have an obligation for the next, we have 7 weeks or so before the president's supposed to have his deal done to convince the American people that this is not something that's in the national security interest of our country.
Well, we are anxious to work with you in that educational effort, Congressman Pompeo, and I hope that we'll be able to prevail because the stakes couldn't be higher, as you know. As I said, you serve on the Intelligence Committee, also on the Energy Committee. One of the things that I'm particularly alarmed at is all of the evidence, and your colleague Congressman Trent Franks has brought some of it to the fore, that the Iranians, were they to have a nuclear weapons capability, have a doctrine that calls for its use against us in the form of something called an electromagnetic pulse attack that would destroy our electric grid and well, perhaps bring about what they've claimed to want to do for some time, a world without America. As a member of the Energy Committee, I would be very interested in any indication that that committee, like others, the Homeland Security Committee more recently last week, the Government Oversight Committee, will take up this danger to our grid and take steps to try to remedy its vulnerabilities. Do you see any prospect of that? And if not, why not, Mike Pompeo?
Well, I hope so. Look, this is a serious threat. It's part of the umbrella of problems that happen when you have clerics who demand the destruction of Israel, and we're the even greater Satan having the capacity to have atomic weapons. One can never underestimate, and I think the American people haven't been told the full scope of what happens when your electrical grid goes down. Even for a relatively short period of time, the second-order ramifications of that are enormous for American national security. So I hope our committee will have hearings. I hope the Foreign Affairs Committee will do the same. And I hope that we can put restrictions on Iran such that we don't ever have to contemplate that risk.
Well, I think that's a good idea. But whether you can or whether you can't, and we've already talked about the high bar that's going to be there, we better be doing something to shield these assets that are critical to, even if there's not that problem, we're going to have a solar storm coming our way shortly, who knows how soon, but at some point in the foreseeable future that requires that kind of protection as well. Congressman, let me turn to one other issue on which you have been a very, very clarion calling voice on the dangers associated with eliminating a set of national security intelligence collection capabilities now authorized under the expiring Section 215 of the Patriot Act. What is going on with regard to that set of capabilities in the House of Representatives, now in the Senate, and what are the stakes as you see it?
Keeping this important intelligence tool available for our law enforcement and intelligence collection people is absolutely critical for America, Frank. We've got to do it. This is a tool that has absolutely saved American lives, and we have elected officials, politicians, not telling the American people the truth about what's really happening. We don't have American leaders listening to our phone calls and reading our emails, intentionally trying to know what's going on. These intelligence tools are aimed at foreign terrorists, jihadists. And now we are within a week and change of these provisions expiring, these important post-9/11 constructs for keeping America safe expiring. The House passed a bill last week that will keep it alive, although in a watered-down form. I supported the bill on the floor, hoping that we could keep it alive at least partially and ultimately bring back the full range of powers. I hope the Senate can do the same today or tomorrow, and that we can get this passed before the expiration on June 1st.
But it's clearly a less than satisfactory situation, this so-called USA Freedom Act. And while you voted for it, I know you're committed to trying to restore these capabilities. And I pray you're right that the Senate, which is thrashing around on this today, will do the same. Congressman, let me just ask you lastly, in connection with your work on the Select Benghazi Committee, I was astonished that you have recently been told, the committee has been told, that not a single document that you've requested from the State Department in connection, I guess, with particularly Hillary Clinton's contributions to the Benghazi problem. What's up with that, and where do you see this thing going?
Frank, it has been one of the most frustrating experiences of my time in service in Congress. I have literally watched an administration that claims to be transparent stonewall at a remarkable level, literally saying we can't get these documents are unavailable, from time to time telling us that we had all the documents, only to find that the former Secretary of State had a off-the-books email account that we managed to turn up. It is unfortunate. We have the very same aim that the president ought to have, which is to figure out why four Americans were murdered in Benghazi, Libya on September 11th, 2012, and to make sure something like that can never happen again. And yet, my fellow, the Democrats on the committee and the executive branch have refused to turn over the most basic set of documents that we've asked for relative to the investigation. I hope that we can pry them out of their hands, not for us, not for the committee, not for me, but for the American people to be able to have all the facts surrounding the events of that evening.
Congressman Pompeo, we are hard out of time. Let me just say your service to our country in uniform, as a graduate from West Point through your time with the storied 7th Cavalry of the 4th Infantry Division, And then, of course, your time on Capitol Hill is really exemplary and very much appreciated, as is your time with us periodically. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. In the meantime, keep up the good work, my friend. Next up, David Kramer of the McCain Institute joins us to talk about how that, well, additional flexibility President Obama promised Vladimir Putin is working out. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.